where his address was when he was born, in Judea, in a little town of Bethlehem, where 1,000 years before King David was born. It was in a manger amongst the animals. That was his address then, but not now. He is in heaven. He ascended to heaven. But heaven is not a distant place that can be measured in millions of miles or light years. It is very near to us, a heartbeat away from all his people. And when we see the Lord at the end of the age, and this being the fourth Sunday in Advent is the day we're supposed to preach about the second coming of Christ, when we see him at the end of the age, it won't be him coming from a distant address, but the unveiling, the drawing back of a curtain, so that we shall see him who is near to us at all times. Where else is his address? Well, by the Holy Spirit of Jesus is the link between heaven, which we don't see with our eyes, except occasional glimpses for some people, the link between heaven and earth. Across the dimension between heaven and earth is the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit may be with us. That means may Jesus be with us. That means may Almighty God be with us. Jesus said to the disciples before he died, he said, "If anyone loves me, my Father and I will come and make my home, my address with them." And that's what we must pray for. Not just that we receive the benefits of what Jesus once did for us, but that we receive the very presence of Jesus dwelling in our midst as a people and as a congregation. For only in the presence of Jesus do we receive his blessings. He doesn't stay at a distant address and dispense his blessings down to earth to his people. He comes clothed with his gospel, as Calvin used to say. He comes to us in all his holiness and love, and in fellowship with him we receive his blessings. Now, in order for Jesus to be the real link between heaven and earth, between God and man, in order for the Son of God to be the Son of Man, it was necessary for him, as I've explained before, to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. In that simple but mysterious formula, heaven conceived by the Holy Spirit and earth born of the Virgin Mary. Heaven and earth are joined together in Jesus. Now, does that mean that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a magical person through whom the Son of God comes to us? Not at all. Like us, she was very, very human. We hear a lot these days about refugees from Bosnia, from Rwanda, and now from Chechnya, if I'm pronouncing it rightly, in Russia. Mary herself was a refugee, having to flee the appalling cruelty of King Herod. And just as in Bosnia and Yugoslavia many children have been massacred, so King Herod massacred many children after the birth of Christ. And Mary was one of those refugees fleeing the massacre, like we see them on the television today. When, as a 12-year-old boy, Jesus was lost and then found in the temple, his mother Mary's anxiety was typical of any mother. Luke 2, verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother, Mary, said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." That's the normal human response of any mother who's lost her son, her 12-year-old. And Jesus graciously then reminds her of his true father. The next verse he says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Before Jesus was born, when he was still in the womb of his mother Mary, Elizabeth, her cousin, approached Mary and said, "You are more blessed than any other woman." The words exactly were, "Blessed are you among women," meaning you're more blessed than any other woman. And Elizabeth refers to Mary as the mother of my Lord. Now that great blessing that Mary received of being related to Jesus is meant to spread to all of us, you know. Mary was blessed because she was wonderfully and physically related to Jesus. She was closer physically to Jesus than any other human being. She was his mother. She bore him into the world. Now the gospel of Christ is that the Son of God has related himself to all of us so that we can call his Father our Father. Becoming one flesh with us means that we can call him our brother, and he can call us his brothers and sisters because he was one flesh with us. That means that we human beings are more blessed than any other creature in the universe. I don't know whether you believe in UFOs, flying saucers as they used to call them. I don't know whether I believe in them or not. It's not important to me. But if there are other beings in other parts of this universe, I can tell you this one thing. They're only there because God created them. They didn't just happen to be there. I've no idea whether God created other life or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. Perhaps some of them, if they exist, are more intelligent than us. I wouldn't know. But the unique thing about human beings is that the Son of God has become one flesh with us in order to save us from our sin. God, in an amazing way, has made himself in our image when Jesus was born of Mary. So we are physically related to Jesus. The Word became flesh, a human being like us. But is our physical relationship with Jesus all that matters? After all, every human being in the world is physically related to Jesus in that he became one of us. Well, once Jesus was teaching in a crowded house and he received a message, "Your mother, that is Mary, and your brothers are waiting outside." And how did he answer? He said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the will of God and do it." At another time, when Jesus was near to crucifixion, a woman cried out and said, "Blessed is the woman who gave you birth and nursed you." In other words, blessed is Mary. And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the will of God and do it." To be the mother of Jesus is surely a wonderful thing. "You are more blessed than any other woman," Elizabeth said to her. That Jesus should become one of us in order to adopt us into the family of God is surely a wonderful thing. That we, because of Christ, the Son of God, should be called children of God is surely wonderful. But for it to be effective, we must hear the word of God and do it. As Jesus said to the messenger who told him that his mother was outside. And how do we hear the word of God and do it? Well, let's think of Mary again the words that she spoke in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, 47, and 48. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." A few things we learn about Mary there, and about ourselves, therefore. First of all, her humble heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." That means blessed are those of humble heart. Blessed are those who know that they are not spiritually self-sufficient. If, dear friend, you tonight and I tonight know that we are not spiritually self-sufficient, that we need help spiritually, then we are poor in spirit and we're already on the first rung of the ladder which leads right to the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit is the opposite of being proud in spirit. And Mary was poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Notice she acknowledges she needs a Savior. She addresses him as Savior. She, like all of us, needed a Savior. And she acknowledged it. Have you and I acknowledged that we need a Savior? Lord, I don't just need you to teach me how to live. Lord, I don't need you just to set me an example of how I should live. Lord, I need you to be my Savior. I was mentioning to the young people last week, if you were a great swimmer, a life saver perhaps, and you saw someone fall in at the deep end, at the swimming pool, who couldn't swim, there are two things you don't do. You don't stand on the side of the swimming pool and give him a swimming lesson. You don't say, "Now, if you move your arms like this and your legs like this, you'll be all right. If you do that, he'll drown." Another thing you don't do is you don't jump in near him and say, "Follow my example and you'll be all right. If you do that, he'll drown." What you do is jump into the water and get hold of him and save him. And having saved him, you can then later teach him to swim by showing him a good example. And so Jesus came, as Mary says, as a Savior to save us who cannot be taught or set an example enough for us to enter heaven, for we cannot of our own efforts. We need a Savior, first and foremost. I wonder whether all of us here have acknowledged that publicly. John's Gospel tells us that Mary went to the foot of the cross when Jesus was dying, when all the disciples, or except for John himself, had run away. Mary, his mother, was there at the foot of the cross. And what did Jesus say to her and to John from the cross? He said to his mother, he said, "You now take John as your son." And he said to John, "You now take Mary," his mother, Jesus' mother, "as your mother. You look after her as you would look after your own mother. And Mary, you care for John as you would care for your own son." And that's a lesson for us, isn't it? It means we must care for one another as members of our family, the family of God. For we in Christ are all one family. The last we read of Mary is in the book of Acts. She's at a prayer meeting. Jesus has ascended to heaven, and there's a prayer meeting, and Mary with the disciples is there praying. You and I, dear friends, need to meet together to pray. with one another. Perhaps in one another's homes, just two or three, gathered together. There the Lord is in our midst. Pray that the Holy Spirit of Christ will come upon our church and parish. And Mary worshipped God, didn't she? She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." We need to be faithful in worship of God. So it's not just that she was his mother. She also heard the word of God and did it. She was humble in heart. She acknowledged her need of a Savior. She went to the cross. She worshipped God. She attended the prayer meeting. And she treated others as members of her own family. And so we too need to follow that example. And when we do, with humble heart, then we join with Mary in something of her own experience. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and a birth took place. Now, reminiscent of that, when we humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge we need him as a Savior, then a new birth takes place in us. We are born from above, from heaven to earth. And Jesus said, except a man be born from above or born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now I want to say, before I close, that if there's anyone here who wants us to pray with him or her, you may have even been in the music group, or just anyone in the congregation, pray with you, you feel you haven't accepted Christ, or you want to be someone to pray for you for healing or some other problem, then my wife and I and will be over there in that side transept at the end of the service. But I hope you'll all also go for a cup of tea. Let us pray. Merciful God, we bless you for your love to a lost world. You sent your Son to seek and to save that which is lost. And we thank you for that word of salvation which has reached us through beautiful songs and readings from Scripture this evening. And we pray indeed that it may bear fruit in our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen.